الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما صدق الله العظيم فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that just as He has gathered us here today on this day of Jum'ah, May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us along with our families in Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la, in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and more importantly, without any accountability. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Between the time of Isa alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you study the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salam and the events that transpired before the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will learn that this world was plunged into darkness. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He decided that He wanted to take the world out of darkness and He wanted to bring nur to this world, He sent the Qur'an. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is why He says in the Qur'an, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. We gave you this Qur'an so that you can take people out of darkness. What darkness are we talking about before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We're talking about deceit. We're talking about people not trusting each other. We're talking about oppression. We're talking about killing. We're talking about ignorance. And just across the board, there were just so many injustices taking place on earth that people were looking for some kind of guidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sends the Qur'an. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the very first revelation, He taught Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Five verses of the Quran were revealed to the Prophet ﷺ. And in a nutshell, I know there's a long tafsir of these ayat, but in a nutshell, there were three things that the Prophet ﷺ is being told to do. Number one is اقرأ, read the Quran. Previous nations, other religions, only the elite would read their book. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that no, the entire Muslim ummah, iqra, read the Qur'an. Everyone must connect with the Qur'an. Number two is, teach. Alladhi allama bil qalam. The one who taught. So Rasulullah SAW is being told that he has to teach. He has to educate his people. And not only that, but how do you educate people and how do you preserve knowledge? الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ. By writing it, by documenting information and knowledge, this is how knowledge gets transferred from one generation to the next generation, and the system goes on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet alayhi salam, reading, writing and teaching is what you are going to do for this ummah. And subhanallah, even after this, if you say the seerah, after these revelations, there was not a revelation for a while. There was not a revelation for a while, and then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Al-Muzammil and Surah Al-Muddathir and so forth. But during this time, Rasulullah was already a prophet. After the Qur'an was revealed even more, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said to the Prophet alayhi salam, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ihsan on you. Allah has bestowed His favor upon you. As a result of what? لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. Allah showed mercy to the believers by sending within them a prophet. What would that prophet do? إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِ. This prophet will recite the Qur'an to the people. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And this is the key thing. He would teach. He would educate people. Rasulullah would teach the book of Allah. And this word hikmah, even though generally it means wisdom, but majority of the ulama of tafsir, they say that here hikmah is in reference to his sunnahs. So Allah is saying that the Prophet alayhi salam will teach his sunnah, he will teach the Quran, and then he will also purify them. So we learn that just like there are so many different roles that you can play in a community, and there are so many important roles that people have to play in the community, such as people who are educators, there are doctors, there are leaders, there are community leaders, there are military leaders, there are school teachers that we have, for example. Every one of these people, they do exist in every single community. But when we say the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn that subhanAllah, he was all these things. He was a counselor. He was an educator. He was a mother and a father and a family man. He was a community leader. He was a military leader. And he was so many things at one time. And he was also an exemplary teacher. Brothers and sisters, you may ask, if I were to ask you this question, in fact, that who is a teacher? Who is a teacher? You would say that there are teachers, the only teachers that do exist in a community are school teachers, or college teachers, or university teachers. But the reality is, brothers and sisters, we all are teachers. We all are teachers. A mother is a teacher, A father is a teacher. A grandmother and grandfather are also teachers. Relatives, uncles and aunts are teachers to their nephews and their nieces. Older siblings are teachers to their younger siblings. And we also have religious leaders that are teachers to the entire community. You have community leaders that are also leaders and teachers to the entire community. If any of you feel that I'm not a teacher, I'm probably a doctor, or I'm an engineer, or I'm an attorney, or I'm an IT expert. Yes, you are. This is how you earn money. This is how you earn an income. But you all, we all, when it comes to our children, and when it comes to others, we all are teachers. We all are going to be teaching in some capacity. And the question is, that what can we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being a teacher? Once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran that لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. The best example for all of us is the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent the Prophet alayhi wasallam as a teacher, and He taught us that what are some key things that we can do when it comes to teaching others. Once again, we all are teachers, and if we're not teaching anyone today, there will come a time where we will be teaching someone else. What are today, inshallah, in this brief khutbah, I will share with you six things today, inshallah. Six things that every single teacher should keep in mind when it comes to teaching others. The very first thing when it comes to teaching others and being an example for others is that you have to be in your natural element. You have to be yourself. A teacher cannot put on a different persona. A teacher cannot put on a different personality. A teacher can only connect with their students when they are in their natural element. When it comes to us as parents and we're teaching our children, we have to be our true selves. You cannot tell your children one thing and then do something else. You cannot tell them that you do one thing, and even though I'm your father and I'm your mother and I do something that is wrong, I want you to do something that is right. This is something that often parents tell their children, and this is not the correct way to approach this kind of matter. If you truly want to be a role model for someone, you truly want to teach someone, you have to live by those teachings to begin with. This is why Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother, she says about the Prophet ﷺ, كان خلقه القرآن. His akhlaq was the Quran. When you want to see the Quran being demonstrated, you look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you observe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will see that he is exhibiting the Quran. So that is why it is very important that as teachers, as those who are educating our own children, or educating anyone in our family, or educating children in the community, we have to be our true selves. At the end of the day, who am I lying to? I can put on a different persona and act like as if I'm someone else, but we truly know who we are. And if there's one thing that we learn so beautiful from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was that he never had different masks. He never had different personalities. Today, we do not have just one or two personalities. We have multiple personalities. Sometimes we act different in a masjid. When it comes to educating our children, we act differently. When it comes to our friends, we act differently. When we are around other people, we act differently. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not a man who had multiple personalities. He only had one personality. That is why his students were very effective. It did not matter who he was teaching, but they would learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they knew that he was a genuine man. And as long as you know that your teacher is a genuine person, you can connect with them. And you feel appreciated that what you're getting from the teacher is truly what they believe in. So this is why the very first thing that we learn as being educators, and once again, as I said earlier, we all are educators in some capacity. The very first thing is that we have to be ourselves, and we have to be in our natural element. The second thing is that when it comes to reprimanding someone, what do we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? See, there are some parents who believe that let me always be soft with my children. And there are some parents who believe that no, I grew up with my parents being harsh with me, and alhamdulillah, I grew up to be a successful man, a successful woman. Now I'm going to treat my children in the same exact way. By the way, Ali radiallahu anhu says that you should never raise your children in the way you were raised, because times are always different. I'm not talking about core values. I'm talking about methods. I'm talking about techniques. That's what I'm talking about here. Many of us sitting over here, we were raised in different ways. We cannot expect that we can raise our children in the same way when it comes to methods and techniques. But nonetheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a balanced person. There were times when he was soft, but there were times when he was also harsh. And there were times also that he would not say anything or do anything, but he will make a verbal sound also. Let me give you some examples. First of all, is that when you talk about the Prophet ﷺ being soft, there was an incident one time. There was a Sahabi by the name of Muawiyah ibn Hakam, a Sulami. He's praying Salat with the Jama'ah. Rasulullah ﷺ is leading the Salat. During the Salat, one man sneezed. So he did not know the ahkam of Salat. He said, Yarhamukallah. Now, when he said, Yarhamukallah, it was during that time where it was, you can look around and so forth in Salat, as we know that the Salat went through different stages. But nonetheless, he said, Yarhamukallah, and people began to stare at him in the Salat. Now he's looking at them. This is a young man or a child. He's looking at them and he's thinking, why is everyone staring at me for? And he's looking at them and he's asking, why are you staring at me? And then the hadith says that they began to strike their shin or their legs. Basically trying to get a point across to him that stay quiet. You are not to say Yarhamukallah in your salat. Rasulullah is still leading his salat. After that he says, Muawiyah says, Ibn Hakam al-Sami, he says, I stayed quiet. I got the message of what these people are trying to say to me and I stayed quiet. After the salat was over, look what happens. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls him, and I want you, before we understand what the Prophet alaihi wasallam did, think about us in our situation. Imagine if you have children today running around in the salat, in the masjid. When you have children or someone is talking in the salat, or someone is disrupting the salat. Here Muawiyah is disrupting the salat in one way. Here he's causing a scene during the salat. Imagine a child were to create a scene during the salat. Right away, we would stare at him. We would stare at the father or the mother, and we look at them in a very rude and disrespectful way. What did Rasulullah do? Once again, we learn from Anas radiallahu anhu that he was always very soft in his approach. Even in this case, Muawiyah was called to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Fabi abi wa ummi ma ra'aytu mu'alliman qablahu wala ba'dahu ahsana ta'liman minhu." He swears upon his mother and father, and he says, "I have never seen a more amazing educator than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." This is what he said. And then he says that what did the Prophet ﷺ do? He never got upset with me. He says, "Wala darabani." He never hit me. Today, when children cause a scene during salat, most of the time they get something after that, right? Their parents might hit them and so forth. He never hit them. This is the words of the Prophet. This is the words of the Sahabi. "Wala darabani." He never hit me. "Wala shatamani." He never said harsh words against me. And then all that he did to this Sahabi was, he says that when we are praying Salat, these are not the things that we do during the Salat. That's all he said. This is the Prophet ﷺ being soft in his approach. Then on the other hand, you have another man who came inside the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. He did not want to miss the raka'ah. So what did he do? He made ruku'ah. Literally, if you were to see someone do this today, you would say that what a foolish man this person is. This person, in order to prevent from missing the raka'ah, he made ruku from the door. And while he's in ruku, he's walking in the state of ruku so that he does not miss his raka'ah. Later on, someone informed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we saw this man very awkwardly in the state of ruku. He's walking all the way so that he does not miss his raka'ah. The Prophet sallallahu called him. "Did you do this?" "Yes, I did this." He says, look at the words. It's so amazing if you think about it. Look at the word selection of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "I admire your enthusiasm." This is what he says. "I admire your enthusiasm, but next time join the salat and then make your ruku." He first provided. You see, when you want to give someone some constructive criticism, it is always ideal for leaders also that you always provide some good feedback. Always say something that can bring you together first. Often people, when they start to provide constructive criticism, they hit the ground running by providing only criticism. Whenever you want to provide some constructive criticism to someone, you always say something that is positive. Look at Rasulullah Sallam. In such a soft approach, he's saying, I admire enthusiasm. But this is not the way we do things. This is how the Prophet ﷺ was soft. Yes, there were times when he was harsh also. For example, when Abu Mas'ud was hitting his slave, and he was beating him, and the Prophet ﷺ, he called out his name very harshly, Abu Mas'ud. Like, you know when we call out our children's name in a very harsh manner? He called him out in the same way. And he says, what is this doing? What are you doing? He says that there's no justice to harm or cause oppression to anyone. And then he reminded him that just like today you feel like you have power and superiority and authority over him, there will come a day where Allah is going to have power and superiority and authority over you too. Keep that in mind. And then there were times where he would just use a verbal kind of gesture or a verbal kind of sound. Like in the case of Hassan, his grandson. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received a small pile of dates as sadaqah to be distributed in Medina. And his grandson comes, and it is not allowed for the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take sadaqah. They can take a gift, but they cannot accept sadaqah. And his child comes and he just picks up one. And what did he say? It's in Arabic, but he says kikh, kikh. It was like a verbal expression that, you know, when we say, when some kids are, they do things wrong, we say, right? We do these kind of things, right? That's fine. But you know, but the Prophet alayhi salam was very gentle even doing that. He said, kikh, kikh. That's all he did. He never slapped him on the head. He never tried to tell him that, don't you understand how many times I've told you? That's all he did. He says, kikh, kikh. The child put it down and that is it. So once again, there are times when we have to reprimand. But we learn from the Prophet ﷺ that you look at the situation. Majority of the times, the Prophet ﷺ was very soft in his approach. Then the third thing that we learn as a teacher is that a teacher always understands their audience. Whenever they convey a message, they convey a message based on the intelligence and the understanding of the audience. To give you the best example, we'll go back to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you study the Makki surahs and the Madini surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a certain pattern that takes place with the Makki surahs that you don't see with the Madini surahs. For example, often in the Makki surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mention His name. Often Allah does not mention His name Allah. Why? Because whenever the Quraysh would hear the name of Allah, they would just close their ears right away. They never want to hear anything with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it. Versus the surahs that were revealed in Medina, because the Jewish community overall, they never had a problem with Allah. They believed in Allah in a certain capacity, but they had a problem with the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said that he is from the lineage of Ismail, and we are waiting for a prophet from the lineage of Ishaq alayhi salam. They had a problem with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not in terms of their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the point is that in the Madani surahs, you will see often that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned His name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Often you see in the Makki surahs that whenever the ayat are short, because poetry was a huge deal in the Meccan times. In Medina, that was not the case. So in the Makki surahs, you will see shorter verses. They rhyme with each other. They connect with each other. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ. They all end in a similar manner. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us a very valuable lesson that when you talk to anyone, you have to know your audience. He knew that if I were to say this in this manner, this will connect with the Quraysh. The Quraysh loved parallels. They loved examples. Go study Surah Al-Adiyat. The first half of the surah is only about horses. Why about horses? Because the Quraysh loved horses. So the point is, you have to know your audience. If you're talking to your teenage son, you gotta give examples that he will understand. You cannot talk to them in a way that you are belittling them. When you're talking to your younger children, you have to understand that they're not like the older children. You have to give them more simpler examples. You have to water down some concepts for them to understand. So the third thing about any teacher is that you have to understand your audience and know who you're talking to. Number four is A teacher always demonstrates. A teacher always teaches in stages and slowly and gradually. One thing that we learned, for example, one time a man asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Ya Rasulullah, how do you perform wudu? Now the Prophet alayhi wasallam could have said, you know what, wash your hands this many times, wash your face this many times, and so forth. That's not what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. What did the Prophet alayhi wasallam do? He actually asked for a vessel of water. And then he practically demonstrated wudu in front of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Often when our children come to us, they don't know how to do something. Just don't give them verbal instructions and go do something. Sometimes you have to go and show them practically. It may be once, it may be two times, three times, fine. But sometimes, you know, all of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us differently. Some people, they learn by seeing other people. There are different methods of learning. So some people, some children, they learn by seeing it being demonstrated in front of them. Verbal instructions are not sufficient for them. So we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when someone would ask questions, sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would demonstrate it out for them so that it's a learning opportunity for everyone else. We also learn from Jundub ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu that when it came to the Prophet alaihi wasallam teaching them, he would teach them in stages. Gradually, slowly and gradually. Even when it comes to our children, and we're teaching anyone else, teach slowly and gradually. Start off whenever you teach someone, you start off from a larger concept, and you slowly and gradually zoom into the what you need to talk about. So that is why there's always these kind of learning techniques that we have to always keep in mind. Number five, a teacher always provides reinforcement by repeating something. We often find from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if there was something extremely important, he will always repeat it. Now, a lot of times we feel that if I repeat something, if I would tell my child over and over and over again, and I have to repeat something again and again, then you feel like, why am I explaining to him? Is he not smart enough? Is she not smart enough? And so forth. Aren't they intelligent enough? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always would give three instructions. If there was something very important, he would say it three times. And not only that, but then he would say even later on also to remind other people. So that is why, if there are times when our kids need demonstration, or any kid, if I'm teaching anyone and I'm in a position or in a capacity as a teacher, if I need to teach and demonstrate multiple times or explain it multiple times, let it be. When you go to universities, when you go to schools and so forth, a math teacher, a science teacher, they don't sit there and say, you know what, why don't you understand? If the child does not understand this math concept, they will teach it in a different way. They will teach it in a different way. They will teach it as long as they need to in order for the child to understand that formula or that concept. Likewise, we find from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And lastly, a teacher always asks questions to their students in order for them to understand. You know, I will say this, that in most Islamic schools and the way majority of us we teach is that there's a lot of information dumping. When it comes to our children, the Sahaba did this, the Prophet ﷺ did this, and there's a lot of information for that child to process. But you know one thing about our Quran and our deen is? Our deen is about, you know, thinking, reflection. Our deen is about critical thinking. Our deen tells us that sometimes you have to look at things and think critically. Analyze something. Often when you go to Islamic schools, you will see often the same thing. Or Sunday schools and so forth. When the kids are being taught, there's a lot of information dumping. They're sharing a whole lot of information. The teacher expects the child to memorize everything. They cannot memorize everything. The better way is always ask some questions. Why do you think Rasulullah did this? Why do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this? Now, of course, I'm not saying that we are questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not saying that. But when it comes to our deen, we have to get their critical thinking, you know, their ability, you know, going when it comes to our deen. This is why in our deen also, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would ask questions. He would ask such as, atadruna mal muflis? Do you know what the bankrupt person is? He would ask them, atadruna mal ghiba? Do you know what ghiba is? He would ask them, do you know, atadruna ma ayyu yawmin hadha? Do you know which day this is? There were a lot of times where the Prophet ﷺ, he would ask the Sahaba questions, and then they would ask and they would respond back. And finally, I will say the most important thing is, and I don't have time to go into this too much, but whenever we provide advices, always try to provide positive advices rather than negative advices. We often, as we have grown up, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Rather than that, do this, do this. Psychologically speaking, there was a study that took place where children were in a classroom setting where they were told, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And how they were processing information versus then the teacher changed up their method, and the teacher just kept on focusing on do this and do this and do this and do this. And the kids were able to grasp a whole lot more, and not only that, but their nature was very, very positive in that sense. So that is why also we learn from the Prophet ﷺ that often, there were times, yes, where he would say that don't do this. Even in the Quran, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't do this. But often we find in our deen that there is more positive reinforcement. So these are things that we learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as teachers, we all find ourselves in a position of teaching, educating others. We try to apply these kind of teachings from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and these methods and these techniques. And inshallah, it will be very beneficial for us and our families and the children that we are trying to educate. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بذكر الذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه الغفور الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد وفي القرآن الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في كل مكان اللهم انصرنا على من خالفنا واحفظ بلادنا وأصلح أولادنا واشف مرضانا وعاف مبتلانا وارحم موتانا وخذ بأيدينا إلى كل خير وعصمنا من كل شر واحفظنا من كل ضير اللهم قسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن يقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما حيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع من قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يستجاب أمين رب العالمين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون أقم الصلاة Straight lines filling the gaps. There's a lot of space inside the main hall. Brothers in the back two rooms, please come inside. If the elderly need to stay in the back room, no problem, but everyone else, please come inside the main halls. Sisters, please straighten the lines, fill in the gaps. There's still an immense amount of space inside the main hall, so please come inside.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق خلاص straight lines from the gaps الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الفلق، من شر ما خلق، ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب، ومن شر النفاثات في العقد، ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الناس، ملك الناس، إله الناس، من شر الوسواس الخناس، الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس، من الجنة والناس. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. السلام عليكم. ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنة. الله لا إله إلا هو.